This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now we have a poll up on our station Twitter account. We'll give you the early results of it coming up in about 15 minutes. Who is the most important player for the Chiefs to make the playoffs out of these four players? Kendall Fuller, Justin Houston, Travis Kelce, and Eric Berry. Who is the most important for the Chiefs to make the playoffs out of these four players? Kendall Fuller, Justin Houston, Travis Kelce, and Eric Berry will give you the early results coming up in about 15 minutes. Thank you so much for listening to The Drive. It is Carrington here, Speck here, Fanning here. The gang is all here. The text line, very upset. One gentleman hopes that Drew Lock breaks his arm in their next game.
That's not cool.
Not very friendly from UKU fans. Yeah. I don't know why you're upset at me from just simply passing the message on what happened in your last football game. I feel like that's my job. But you guys want to be mean and salty towards Drew Lock, who, you know, led Missouri to a win.
Something you don't know a lot about. You just read like an unbiased news report about what happened with the KU Nichols game?
Why I'm
just
here.
Just the facts, I mean.
That's why I'm here. Okay. Man. That's exactly.
Well, then in that case, yeah, I mean, they shouldn't come after you that way.
I know. I don't know why they would do that. Speaking of winning football, you have a chance to hear Kansas State right here on 610 Sports Radio this week as Kansas State takes on Mississippi State. And K-State, they had their struggles. We would be poking fun at them, but they actually won their game. They play Mississippi State at 11. Pre-game starts right here on 610 Sports Radio at 9 o'clock. Today's pop quiz was Austin Powers Gold Member. Today is Beyonce's 37th birthday. Happy birthday to Beyonce. So I was very curious today, and I was curious over the weekend as I looked up the Chiefs roster and the guys that made the team at cornerback. Because you know that saying, you get what you pay for? Like, how many times have you made the decision to maybe save a couple of bucks? You buy something that's a little bit cheaper. And then you go back and you regret it. You're just thinking, man, I just should have spent the extra $2, $3, and I would have a higher quality product. I feel like everybody's been in that situation at some point.
Yeah, it's true. You decide to shave a few bucks off here and there, and the next thing you know, you got a bigger problem than you had before.
So I looked this up. I wanted to know how much the Chiefs are actually spending at the position of cornerback. Kendall Fuller, still on his rookie contract, making $647,000 this year. Tremont Smith, still on his rookie contract, making the league minimum $480,000, sixth-round draft pick. Charvarius Ward, on his rookie contract, $480,000, was an undrafted guy for the Dallas Cowboys. Orlando Scandrick, who was signed to the team August 19th, hasn't been on the team a month. Orlando Scandrick, on the team, making less than $1 million this year, at $915,000 this year. Steven Nelson is the Chiefs' highest-paid corner at $1.897 million, a little bit under $1.9 million. So, the total number. The Chiefs are spending $4.4 million at the position. I bring it up because you get what you pay for. The Chiefs financially have not invested a lot of resources into cornerback. That's why you could potentially have one of the bottom seven cornerback groups in the NFL. Now, Kendall Fuller is a legitimate resource. You got a draft pick and him when you traded Alex Smith. You didn't spend an exorbitant amount of resources on Steven Nelson. You didn't spend really any resource on Orlando Scandrick. He got cut from two teams this year. You picked him up for less than $1 million. Tremont Smith, you spent the sixth-round draft pick, and you traded for Charvarius Ward, but he was an undrafted free agent that you traded the Cowboys for this year. The Chiefs have not prioritized or invested, aside from Marcus Peters, and not getting into that, you haven't invested at cornerback. It explains why your secondary's not that good.
We're talking corners here. We're not talking safeties, right? So Eric Berry, and I don't know how the Chiefs break this down when it comes to what they're paying their guys. But if you're paying Eric Berry a huge chunk of cash, I mean, Eric Berry is getting paid this year, right? So Eric Berry signed that big-time deal. He's in, what, year two of that deal? So he signed a six-year, $78 million deal, and this year he's going to make his cap hits $13 million. So that factors. Let's not pretend like that doesn't factor into it a little bit. I mean, you say get younger and cheaper, right? I mean, that's the whole goal in the NFL. Fuller's 23, Nelson's 25, Tremont Smith is 22, Charvarius Ward, I'm guessing, is 22 as well. He was an undrafted free agent guy. Now, Orlando Scandrick, he's not young, but he is fairly cheap. Mm-hmm. I mean, making less than $1 million. So the Chiefs did do that, and they're paying Eric Berry $13 million a year. Dan Sorensen takes up, what, five of that? Five more million, too?
But Fanning, it's also, to me, relative to what you spend, you should receive it. Like, you expect Eric Berry to be a top-flight safety in the NFL. He's one of the five best safeties in the league,
yeah.
And you paid a premium for the position. So the Chiefs really value Eric Berry's contribution. I'm looking at the position of corner. Tell me what the Chiefs have done to really show you that they really value cornerback.
Yeah.
They really value offensive line. There's no question if you look at the Chiefs and how their roster is constructed, if they really value offensive line. I mean, hell, they value Cam Irving more than any corner on this team right now.
Yeah.
Look at what they just gave Cam Irving in guaranteed contract. Cam Irving makes more than every corner on their team combined. He makes more than every cornerback. Your backup offensive lineman. That when you have a salary cap lead, you can allocate resources how you want to do it. Just for team building. They've chose to really prioritize offensive line. And not saying that's not something you should prioritize. They've spent a lot of money on left tackle. A lot of money on, not a lot of money on center, but they spent a high resource, a second round draft pick on center. They spent, we agree, a lot of money on right guard that not a lot of teams have spent the amount of money the Chiefs are in right guard. Right tackle. And they spent a lot of money on a backup offensive lineman that was already under contract and already on your roster. They have not gone out in secondary, whether it was in the draft and spent a high draft pick on them. Could have spent a second round draft pick, third round draft pick. You chose not to. In free agency, could have spent a little bit of money in free agency. You chose not to. The money you did spend was on David Amerson, who just got cut. He was making a one-year, $2.5 million deal. I'm just saying, when I look at the NFL and I look at a team like the Broncos who have their corner, I look at a team like the Chargers that have their corner, man, you get what you pay for. You're paying bottom five in the NFL at secondary when it comes to cornerbacks. You're going to get bottom five play in the NFL when it comes to cornerback. That's the biggest reason why you're taking the over for this team.
Yeah, totally. Because
you can certainly throw on these guys. I think Kendall Fuller, aside from Mahomes, might be the most important player on the team. If you lose Kendall Fuller for 3-4 weeks on this team, who's your number one corner? Steven Nelson? Orlando Scandrick? Oh, you are getting cooked if that's the scenario.
No, I don't think it's that the Chiefs undervalue corner. I think it's the Chiefs don't know how to draft to develop them. And I think their judgment's awful. I mean, that's what I think it really comes down to. I think the Chiefs thought they were going to be set with Kendall Fuller or David Amerson, and they were wrong. I think the Chiefs thought they were going to be set in 2016 when they drafted like DJ White and Steven Nelson and those guys, and they were wrong. The Chiefs have screwed up the corner position. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you on that one because I think you're right about that. I don't think it's I think there's a bunch of really smart guys over One Arrowhead Drive that got it wrong. I think they guessed wrong on draft picks and they guessed wrong on David Amerson, and that's the position that they're in right now. Because I don't think any good football team can sit back and say the way the NFL is constructed right now that you shouldn't value corner. The Chiefs get it wrong a lot. The Chiefs value offensive line. They value offense. I don't think they know what the hell they're doing when it comes to defense, and that goes back to what we talked about. They've had on, what, three picks in the Dorsey era when it comes to defensive guys, and the best one of them is already gone. He's a Ram now. I think the Chiefs get it wrong, and they can't value it, similar to the way the Royals had issues for the longest time when it came to drafting and developing pitching. Pretty crucial part of baseball, playing corner, pretty crucial part of the NFL and being successful. The Chiefs get it wrong a lot, you know, and that's something that's got to be fixed if they are going to win a Super Bowl. I do still believe, though, firmly, that when it came down they had to pick this year, they chose to try to shore up the run defense because that's what cooked them in the playoffs last year. They thought they probably had a similar type player in Kendall Fuller as Marcus Peters, and we'll find out if that's true or not. I tend to think probably not, but I think Kendall Fuller's a really, really good corner. I think they thought, well, if we got Amerson on the other side, we managed to win the division last year with Marcus Peters and a bunch of average guys at corner. You know, I think that's what they were going for this year. They're going to try to skim through on that, skimp on corner this year, and then go after it in the draft next year. But again, I don't think they've developed, I don't think they've drafted, and I think they get it wrong in free agency the majority of the time when it comes to corner.
So if you missed it, this is what the Chiefs are paying their five corners on the roster. Kendall Fuller making $650,000. Steven Nelson making under two at 1.89. Orlando Scandrick making less than $1 million. And you got Tremont Smith and Charvarius Ward making league minimum. The Chiefs spend $4.4 million a year in corner. If you want a comparison, Casey Hayward, who was second team All-Pro last year for the Los Angeles Chargers, makes $4 million by himself. I just don't think the Chiefs have shown that they have that they have at least over the last 8 months or so have put a lot of resources into the position, and that creates the situation that you're in right now when your big fix was David Amerson and he didn't make it with you to week one of the NFL season.
Let me ask you this, though, and I'll throw this at you. Who's dominated this division since Andy Reid has been here? The Chiefs.
I mean, Peyton Manning or Andy Reid.
Yeah, but I mean, the Chiefs have beaten the Chargers, what, 8 straight? That's what we talked about in the opening segment. And they're spending, what, $6.4 million, and then Jason Verrett's out for the season. He's making $8.5. I mean, the Broncos spending, you know, $19.4 million on their corners. They don't have a quarterback. And then the Raiders are the Raiders, spending $5.2. The Chiefs are choosing to skimp, but we're also talking about back-to-back division titles, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, are we talking about winning the AFC West or going to the Super Bowl?
It's a very good point.
You're not going to the Super Bowl.
No, not with that defense.
Skimping on quarterback.
Absolutely, you're not.
You can certainly skimp on backup offensive linemen and go to the Super Bowl. You're not skimping on cornerback and hoping to advance in the playoffs the way I think everybody in Kansas City wants to do. But a stat that should warm your heart, Phillip Rivers has a 76.3 passer rating, 12 touchdowns and 14 interceptions against Bob Sutton's Chiefs defense. The Chargers are 2-8 in those games. I said it at the beginning of the show. I think the three talking points this week are the health of Eric Berry, the real debut of Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs' dominance over the Chargers. The Chiefs have won 8 straight against the Los Angeles Chargers. A big reason of why they've had dominance over the Chargers is, in this division, the Chiefs have done a really good job of limiting quarterbacks, aside from Peyton Manning. They've done a really good job against Derek Carr, and they've done a really good job against Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, they have. I mean, you can't argue with that. I mean, they've been really, really good against Phillip Rivers. I think this year, probably going to be a little bit different. I mean, if you go back and you look at the Chargers, what? I think last year they, in terms of passing yards per game, they were number one. They didn't sack Phillip Rivers a ton last year either. So they protected him, and he threw for a ton of yards. I think it's a bad combo this week, though, and it's a different year. You know, I mean, it's a much different year than any other year in terms of the defense with this Chiefs team. So I don't feel good about this game, especially now we don't know. You know, the health of Eric Berry is a mess, and Andy Reid's not saying anything about it.
You also had Marcus Peters for all of those games, too. It certainly changes it, especially going up against a guy like Keenan Allen, who is going to, you would think, have a really good day against the Chiefs defense. Earlier today, we put up a poll on our Twitter account. Who is the most important for the Chiefs to make the playoffs out of these four players? Kendall Fuller, Justin Houston, Travis Kelce, and Eric Berry. We tell you how the poll results are coming. Coming up, it's The Drive. The NFL has released a statement on Colin Kaepernick, if you missed it. Nike announced yesterday that they will be incorporating Colin Kaepernick into their promotions. The NFL responds as follows, quote, "The National Football League believes in dialogue, understanding, and unity. We embrace the role of responsibility and everyone involved with this game to promote meaningful, positive change in our communities." Quote, "The social justice issues that Colin and other professional athletes have raised deserve our attention and action." I will be very curious to see if Nike plans on using Colin Kaepernick in commercials during NFL games. I think that's really when the NFL is put in a pickle. Nike's its own independent company. They certainly can choose to endorse whoever they want to endorse. And I understand the NFL had to comment. And they gave a pretty, I don't know how anyone could really argue with what the NFL statement is. I think that's going to be the thing. Nike and the NFL obviously have a very good relationship. Is Nike planning on using NFL airtime to promote Colin Kaepernick? That is the next wave in this to me.
I think it's going to be a complicated deal because what was the court deal that they won? Like, Colin Kaepernick won a ruling. Like, it's going to advance, right? There's some collusion and stuff going on. So basically, the guy that Nike's using as a spokesperson, whatever, for the new Just Do It campaign is basically suing the NFL. I mean, it is weird and it is complicated, and the NFL can't be happy about that. I promise you that. I mean, there's other apparel companies out there. I don't know what their contract is with Nike, but I mean, it could get to that point.
It just seems very simple to me with Colin Kaepernick. Like, I've looked at the commentary the last couple of days. It's very, very simple. There are some people that are going to be very turned off by the deal with Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. The NFL is betting that there are more people that will be happy about it and will go out and buy the apparel for Colin Kaepernick. Like, I don't know Nike's social stance.
Yeah.
But Nike, to me, like any business, they're making a plus negative. They think it's going to be more pluses than negatives, and they think they can make money off Colin Kaepernick. So that's why they signed Colin Kaepernick. Like, it just seems very, very simple. Like, people are really confusing the situation.
I don't think fans will care, do you? I mean, I don't think fans are going to care.
I absolutely think people will care about it.
Do you really? I mean, I think NFL fans are still going to watch NFL football no matter what. I mean, I think that's the biggest deal.
I think a lot of people,
it's not going to affect the NFL one way or the other.
I think a lot of people will be turned off by Nike by doing
this. Oh, yeah. From that, absolutely. I'm looking at it from an NFL perspective. Like, are they going to be irritated that Nike signed on with Colin Kaepernick? And I don't think the NFL cares because the NFL is going to make their money no matter what.
We put out a poll question today on Twitter. The poll reads as follows. Who of these four players are most important to the Chiefs making the playoffs? Kendall Fuller, Justin Houston, Travis Kelce, Eric Berry. With over 3,700 votes, Eric Berry has 54% of the votes. Justin Houston is second with 22%. Kendall Fuller is third with 13%. And Travis Kelce, very shocking to me, Travis Kelce came in last in this poll at 11%. I have not voted in the poll, but I will give my verbal vote. I think the answer is Kendall Fuller. These are the Chiefs' corners aside from Kendall Fuller. Steven Nelson, Orlando Scandrick, Tremont Smith, Tre'Varius Ward. I don't know how this team makes the playoffs if Kendall Fuller misses a substantial amount of time. I'm not talking about one individual game at home the way it was against the Oakland Raiders. I'm talking about Kendall Fuller is out for 4 to 6 weeks with whatever injury, a hamstring pull. I don't know how the Chiefs get by for those 4 to 6 weeks without Kendall Fuller. I think aside from Mahomes, Kendall Fuller has become the second most important player on the team.
Yeah, and I see where you're coming from on that. I mean, if you're going to have to run Scandrick and Fuller out there as your top two corners, you probably got, you know, you got problems on there. I think the Chiefs have problems at corner even if Kendall Fuller's there. I think that's going to be an issue. That's why I voted for Eric Berry in the poll. Eric Berry, to me, it's obvious. If Travis Kelce isn't there, you still have Sammy Watkins, Kareem Hunt, and Tyreek Hill. You still have those options. On defense, you need a leader, man. You need a defensive quarterback, and that's Eric Berry, in my opinion. He can cover for a lot of mistakes that happen at the cornerback position. He's a matchup. He can get on a tight end because who's gonna guard the tight end? You know, if they play a team with a really, really good tight end, who's guarding him? You putting Ron Parker on him? I don't feel good about that. You're going to put a corner on him? I don't feel good about that. Eric Berry, to me, is the guy. Without leadership, you have next to nothing out there. Eric Berry's been in this defense. You've got new corners, a bunch of new guys. The corners you mentioned, the only guys that, Ron Parker, who just joined the team, so he's back there. But of the corners that you mentioned, the only guy on this list is Steven Nelson, who, in my opinion, is a number three corner at best. So I think you need leadership. I think you need experience. I think you need an all-pro safety back there. Without him, I don't think they have a shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I just also look at you needing talent. And, I mean, this is one of those things. Like, I think there is more of a grouping. Like, I think this is the group. I think most teams, your quarterback is the most important guy on the roster. If you don't have your quarterback, you're not making the playoffs. So if the Chiefs don't have Mahomes for 8 weeks, I don't know if you're making the playoffs with Chad Henne as your quarterback. Yeah. But I think this is the next grouping. And we can disagree on who should be first, who should be second, whatever. Eric Berry, Justin Houston, Kendall Fuller, and Travis Kelce. I think that Kelce makes the offense go. I don't know if the Chiefs offense can be dynamic without Travis Kelce. I think he is just a cog. If you look back to what happened in the playoff game against the Tennessee Titans, when did the offense really seem to go downhill? You still had Tyreek Hill. You still had Kareem Hunt in that game. You didn't have Travis Kelce. I think he kind of makes their offense go. You and I just value the position more when it comes to cornerback and its place on the Chiefs. That I know they got new pieces at corner. They ain't got no pieces I'm really happy about.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think Steven Nelson at best is a number three corner, if Orlando Scandrick's on his third team in the last 8 months, Tremont Smith, sixth-round guy out of Central Arkansas, and Tre'Varius Ward was an undrafted free agent, you might got a lot of new. You ain't got a lot of good at the position. I just don't know how you can cover in a passing league. I don't know, yeah. Especially the first 6 weeks. I don't know how you're going up against Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger and Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady. I don't know how you're going up against them with guys like Tremont Smith, Orlando Scandrick, and Tre'Varius Ward, and expecting to have a whole lot of success at the position.
Yeah, and I understand that, but let me put it in a baseball perspective for you. You got average pitchers, but you got great fielders, you got a chance. To me, the corners are the pitchers. You know, the safeties are the fielders. I mean, they can cover up a lot of mistakes. And so that's why I'm saying if we got to run Armani Watson, Eric Murray out there, you know, with the corners that you have now, I think you got problems. I think Eric Berry can go back there and cover up a lot of the weakness of the secondary. Now, it's not going to work all the time. That's impossible, right? But if you're running a rookie safety out there and a backup in Eric Murray, or you got to run Ron Parker out there, who I didn't have a problem with the Chiefs cutting him in the offseason. I'm glad he's back now because they need depth at that position, especially if Eric Berry is not going to be able to play. You got problems back there, man. So give me a good safety, a leader on the defense, the quarterback of the defense back there, making sure things are going to go smooth and can help out when corners get beat. That's all I'm saying with the Eric Berry thing.
Text line 69306 on the Pepper Dice Grill, famous Philly text line. If Houston doesn't create pressure, it doesn't matter who the corners are. You are right. It is very much a chicken and an egg argument. I think you can make a really strong case for any of the other four guys aside from Mahomes. between Barry, Houston, Fuller, and Kelce, I think a very strong and convincing argument can be made for any of the four players. I think out of the four, Barry is probably the best player and most important player to the team if he's playing at a high level. Like, yeah. The player I saw back in 2016, I mean, he was one of the 15 most valuable players in the NFL.
I think
Travis Kelce's a really good player. I'm talking about value to the team. What's more valuable, really good Eric Berry, really good Travis Kelce? I think you probably take really good Eric Berry just because of the other pieces you have on offense. Fuller, the argument to me is just corner and the other options. Houston with pass rush and Travis Kelce, I think, is your best offensive player other than your quarterback. I think there is a very strong case to make for the other four guys. Speck, who'd you pick out of the four? Barry, Houston, Fuller, Kelce.
I think it's Travis Kelce, and I know that's got the smallest percentage on Twitter, but I know two things. The Chiefs' offense is going to be really good, and the Chiefs' offense is going to be – or defense, excuse me, is going to be really bad. If they take away Kendall Fuller – the Chiefs' defense is still going to be really bad. But if you take away Travis Kelce, that offense goes from probably elite to just good, and you're looking more at 5-11, 6-10, as opposed to 8-8, 9-7.
Coming up, we need one caller, 913-576-7610. Oh, it's Fanning's favorite part of the show. It's time to play three strikes. We need a caller right now, 913-576-7610. Whenever we're off at 5, we play three strikes right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Three strikes.
Are you ready?
Coming up in 15 minutes, we head to Oakland, California to hear what they were saying about losing Khalil Mack. I was very surprised when we talked about Khalil Mack earlier, how many on the text line think this is a really good trade for the Raiders. Maybe that's like soaked in the fact of you don't have to go up against Khalil Mack. But if the Chiefs did something like this, I'd be furious. We wouldn't even talk about the game this week. We would just spend the next 16 hours mocking the Chiefs for their decision to trade a once-in-a-generational player like Khalil Mack. So I'm surprised how many of you think the Raiders have had a good decision in trading Khalil Mack, but that's neither here nor there. It is time to play three strikes. We play three strikes every time we're off at 5 o'clock because Vern said that the listener at 5 o'clock doesn't win in the game. So anytime the Royals play a little bit earlier, we play three strikes to show Josh Vern. Fanning, take it away.
All right, we're playing for some tickets to the World War One Museum, and we're going to go to my guy Craig in Holden, Missouri. Craig, how you doing? You're going to make us look good. You're going to win this game, right?
All right, let's do it.
All right, man, you know how it's played, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, here we go. First question. Tonight on 610 Sports Radio, Danny Duffy's going to make his 158th career start when the Royals take on the Cleveland Indians. That is 10th all-time for the Royals. Other than the Duff Man, name me three of the Royals' top 10 pitchers in games started. I need three of the Royals' top 10 pitchers in games started, not named Danny Duffy. Go.
Brett Saberhagen
is correct. He's number 5 on the list. He made 226 career starts for your Kansas City Royals.
Kevin Apier
is correct. He is number 4 on the list. Made 275 career starts for the Royals.
And I might be wrong on this one. Danny Jackson
is incorrect.
Track one.
All right, we're going to have to go with, I can't believe that I'm getting stumped on this. This is insane.
You can do this, man.
Steve Busby?
Steve Busby is incorrect.
Strike two.
He is 11th on the list with 150 career starts for the Royals. Come on, man.
Craig, you got to protect the plate here.
Craig.
I know. Hold on. Give me one second. Let me think.
All right. Can I give him a hint or not?
No.
Okay.
Dude, I'm going to be way off. I'm going to have to go with...
Come on, man. You got this.
Mark Gubazov?
That's correct. Way to go, man. Number 2 on the list. 327 career starts for your Kansas City Royals.
What a pull by you, Craig, because you were almost out of here, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to try to give you a Zach Greinke tip to get you through there, but good job with Gooby. All right, question number 2. Whit Merrifield is the Royals' Swiss Army knife. He's like the Jerry Terrell from back in the day. He has played 6 different positions this year for the Royals. All I need is 3 of those positions that he has played this year for the Kansas City Royals.
Okay, he's played left field.
That's correct.
He's played second base.
That's correct.
And he's played first base.
That is correct. Good job, man. He's also played, did you say center? He's played first, second, left, center, right, and he's played DH. So that was an easy one for him, man. You got that, Craig.
I mean, if he's played six of the nine positions on the field, well, that was...
I wanted a layup.
Would have been real hard to miss that one.
I wanted a layup.
That was a layup.
This one's going to be a little bit more difficult, man, but I got confidence in you. It's Craig from Holden, Missouri. Final question. Over the weekend, Ned Yost said that when Ian Kennedy returns from his minor league rehab assignment, he will likely use a six-man rotation the rest of the season. All I need from you, Craig, if you want to win World War I museum tickets, is to name me three of the starting pitchers Ned will use in his six-man rotation.
That's going to be Phil Meyer.
That's correct.
It's definitely going to be Duffy.
That's correct. One more and you're set here, Parts.
What's going to be Ian Kennedy?
You can't say Ian Kennedy. Anybody but Ian Kennedy. Good try.
All right, it's going to be Jake Junis.
Jake Junis, there we got a winner, man. Yeah! We got a winner.
Feels like we had the questions a little bit backwards, that maybe six of the nine positions on the field should have been question number one. Name starting pitchers on the Royals, question number two.
Well, Spec, I had these in there like 3 hours ago. You're more than welcome to switch them around. You are the producer.
You know what I think happened? I think Fanning got really discouraged the first time he started making the questions, so he's been making them. I mean, this is basically, have you watched the Royals? Like, hey, what positions this season has Whit Merrifield played?
Last week or 2 weeks ago, what did I have? Name the three Jorges. Jorge Lopez pitched the night before, and they couldn't get Jorge Lopez.
Name three of the guys that currently start for the Royals. I mean, hey, you just got to find a dub. Anyway, you can get a dub. You know what I mean?
I wanted to get my guy. I mean, in the whole top 10, three of the Royals' top 10 pitchers in game started, man. You got Dennis Leonard. You could have gone Zach Greinke, your guy. You had plenty of options.
No, he certainly had a lot of options, man. I understand. I mean, not every game needs to be at Alabama, you know? So
that's true.
Sometimes you need nickels at home. Yeah. You know, sometimes you need nickels at home in order to keep things going. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I'm a huge fan of Chappelle's Show. Probably one of my favorite shows out there. They used to do this skit on Chappelle's Show called
When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
Yeah. And on When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong, they would show people in real life situations that kept it real. And normally when they kept it real,
When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong,
something terribly went wrong.
Yeah.
You think that Braylon Edwards is on the most recent edition of
When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
Yeah, Braylon Edwards, who was a great receiver at the University of Michigan, got drafted by the Browns.
And then that was the end of his career.
Yeah, and he got in a fight with LeBron's posse one night, too, I think, in Cleveland. I think that went down at some point. So Braylon Edwards now works for the Big Ten Network. We know that, obviously, that Michigan got beat by Notre Dame. Jim Harbaugh against top 25 teams, not all that good, right? So here's what Braylon Edwards tweeted over the weekend.
Jim Harbaugh might be out here running a jig, by the way.
Well, maybe. But anyway, here's what Braylon Edwards tweeted that got him in trouble, okay? He tweeted, Ruiz is weak. Line is weak. Shea is scared. Blank in Michigan offense is so predictable. Michigan football is sadly one thing. Trash.
Going through it.
And that got him suspended. And it should. Like, Braylon Edwards not on the Pepper Jacks Real Famous Philly text line. He's not a texter. He is works for the Big Ten Network. He's going passive-aggressive here, going on social media and calling his school trash, and he works for the Big Ten Network. You can't do it. You can't do it. So Braylon Edwards got what he deserved. You can't go on there and do that. All right? So he came back, and he issued another tweeted. I don't know what he did on Monday, but he got it right, and this is all he had to say. This is a nice tip for you people out there. When keeping it real, what is it? Keeping it real.
When keeping it real.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
This would have been a powerful statement, and this is all he had to say, and he redid it on Monday. So funny that everyone's worried about my tweet as opposed to the real issue. 0-17 on the road against ranked opponents. 1-6 against rivals. And the one win was against a 3-9 Michigan State team. Last thing I will ask and really think about this before you get mad is Michigan better than Iowa? That's all you got to put, man. Like, that is a professional broadcast tweet. You come out, you work for the Big Ten Network, and you call Michigan trash, you're going to get suspended. You can't do it, man.
I think what very simply happened was the goons got to him. Somebody up in the front office of the Big Ten Network said, you can't be talking that way. So he went there, and he was like, all right, you know what I'm going to do? Let me type what I should have said the first time. But
that's
again,
exactly
I'll
what
say,
he should have done.
I just, as an alum, I understand you in the heat of passion during the game. I get what Braylon Edwards was trying to do. I agree with you. You shouldn't do that.
I mean, you're like Dari Noka or any of these guys out there. You see Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, any of these other analysts out there. Braylon Edwards, you got to be a pro, man. That's not being a pro. That's just being a hack.
I just look at Jim Harbaugh. I think he's running a little bit of a jig.
Yeah.
I mean, he's running a little bit of a jig. He started off on fire at Michigan. 17 of the first three. 11-9 since you paid Jim Harbaugh to win games like the one on Saturday at,
don't disagree
at
with
Notre
you.
Dame.
Don't disagree with you
I understand you
at all.
Got a little bit of buyer's remorse because right now it looks like he's basically Jim Hoke. I heard a lot
You're talking about Brady
Michigan.
Hoke?
I know a lot
Brady Hoke?
That yeah. hated Brady Hoke. You got Brady Hoke coaching your team right now. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh. They're the
yeah.
Over the last 20 games, they have been the exact same person. He is yeah. running the absolute jig right now in Michigan.
And all Braylon Edwards had to say was that. 0-17 on the road against ranked opponents, 1-6 against rivals, and 1 win against Michigan State. That was 3-9. Your point will be taken. It's factual. It's to the point. You start calling Michigan trash, you look bad, man. It's a bad look.
Coming up on the other side, Oakland Sports Talk. As you would guess, they had a lot to say about Khalil Mack. We'll tell you what they had to say. And as you would guess, fans were not very happy about trading the once-in-a-generational player. We'll tell you what they had to say coming up. It's the Draft. Back in on the Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City in the Hits. The Hits are an hour earlier today because we are off at 5 because your Kansas City Royals are playing at 6 o'clock. We listen to 95.7 The Game in Oakland, California, and as you would guess, people are not very happy about trading Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears. Here's some audio from a caller calling in to 95.7 The Game out in Oakland, California.
I don't know, man. I've got a 13-year-old son. He's grown up here. He's a Raider fan, diehard, and I don't know how to move past this. You know, I don't even know if I'm going to watch the game on Monday night. I think I'm going to have to jump off the bandwagon after 40 years of being a fan.
40 years, lifelong diehard Raiders fan. The Khalil Mack trade is your breaking point. You're over. You're done with the Oakland Raiders after trading Khalil Mack.
Yep.
I just. Man, trades like that in the NFL just don't happen. Like, major trades in the NFL just don't happen. Like, the Khalil Mack is one of those, like, hypotheticals. Like, man, would you give up 2 first-round picks for Khalil Mack? I'm like, yeah. Man, they don't ever get traded. Like, major defensive players, aside from Marcus Peters, just don't get traded in the NFL. It just never happens. The only time major trades happen are when it's draft time, when it's, like, an unproven commodity. Man, proving guys like Khalil Mack, like 27-year-old great defensive players, just not available for you to trade for.
Who's that player? Mahomes for the Chiefs? Like, if they did that, you would just say, I'm not watching the Chiefs anymore. I mean, I got a hardcore Chiefs fan, but.
I would just think the people running it, if they traded Mahomes, I would just think you're incompetent.
You know what I mean? You think the Raiders are incompetent? Sense. You think that's what they are with this whole deal?
I think that it came down to egos. I think that Jon Gruden wants to run his team his way. And I think sometimes how you do it, you know how, like, this is a very weird analogy, but, like, you know how sometimes, like, somebody will then come into a town and then pick on the bully, and that just proves, hey, I'm here. That's what I think happened with Jon Gruden here. Hey, I'm the big $100 million man. I'm going to show you I run things here. Hey, Khalil Mack, we don't need you. Our defense was 29th last year without you. We can do everything we need without you. Take this contract. Khalil Mack's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not showing up if you won't give me that. And I think they thought what you thought at the beginning, and a lot of people thought, and eventually he'll show up. How could he miss all this money?
$14 million a year almost.
And then it became he and his agent, we are not showing up. Either pay Khalil Mack what he's worth or trade him. And I think Oakland believed he was serious. And then the Rams paid Aaron Donald. So the blueprint came out there. If you're not willing to give Khalil Mack that contract, then he will never play another game for the Raiders. And then they had to trade Khalil Mack for the start of the season because, I mean, you're going to lose a lot of leverage once you let the season go by if you didn't trade him. That's what I think happened.
Yeah, and we'll see if the Raiders got this thing right. I mean, they paid their quarterback. What David Carr get? He got over $100 million, didn't he?
Yeah, he got paid.
Yeah, so he got paid, and they didn't want to give 90 guaranteed to Khalil Mack either. I don't know if the Raiders got this right. It seems like a very Raider thing for them to do, at least at this point. But they also got 2 first-round picks out of it.
Yeah, I mean, unless you draft 2 great players or Khalil Mack gets hurt, I just don't know how this ends up being a positive for the Oakland Raiders. Is it Rick Tittle? Is that how you pronounce his name? Rick Tittle thought this was the dumbest trade ever made.
It's a disaster. It's the stupidest trade I've ever seen in my life in the NFL. I'll live to be 100. I'll never see another trade this stupid. You throw in a second-round pick just to make it even more dumb.
I didn't get that. That part I didn't understand.
I mean, I didn't really understand anything.
I don't understand throwing a second-round pick.
They made it even worse. Like, there's a lot that doesn't really make sense to me about the trade. Yeah. Number one is, you would hope that your first-round draft picks that you get for Khalil Mack turn out to be as good as Khalil Mack, the player you just traded away.
Yeah.
And then, on top of your stupidity, in trading a once-in-a-generational player for your organization, you then gave the Bears a second-round pick in addition to it. This is dumb. Like, there's no waiting and see if this works out for Oakland. This was dumb.
The
you
second
had
round,
a once-in-a-generational player in Khalil Mack, and you traded him for two first-round picks, and you swapped second-round picks with the Bears. You're stupid.
The second-round pick, I didn't understand that part of it. Like, throwing it in a second round if you're the Raiders, that's ridiculous to me. I mean, that's the part that I have a problem with. If they think they want to trade him and they can't afford him, they don't want to pay him, and you get two first rounds in return, I can deal with that depending on how this thing plays out. But then you tack on a second-round pick along with Khalil Mack? Come on now.
It just doesn't – I want to know how, like, off the record, how do you think you get better in this trade? Because you certainly didn't get better in 2018. There's no way the Raiders can think they're better because they traded Khalil Mack for unproven commodities. Like, you cannot use the draft picks now during the season. You were going into a season without your arguably best player. You might argue
it's
Derek
Carr. How long John Gruden's deal is like 10 years?
10
right?
years.
That's why.
I just don't know how you think this makes you better. And what are the likeliness that you draft two players that end up being better than Khalil Mack? Very, very slim. Yeah. Like, it is. That's just not how it works in the NFL.
Don't you think, though, part of it, I mean, when are they moving to Vegas? Is it 2 years? What is it, this or last year? I have to look it up. But anyway, so they're going to have these first-round picks, and they're going to Vegas. John Gruden didn't care about this year, man. John Gruden's got 10 years and $100 million. So let's build this thing to last long-term. We don't want to pay Khalil Mack $90 million. We're going to Vegas anyway. Screw it. Maybe that's what he's thinking. You know, I mean, that's the only thing I come up with on this thing.
I mean, I just know the last time I saw a coach that think he was more valuable than the players, he's now coaching at UCLA.
Yeah.
The last time that a coach came in there and thought that his system was better than everybody else,
was that
you
coach,
were going to outsmart
was that coach,
everybody else.
Do you have a 10-year, $100 million deal?
No, he did
okay.
not.
Okay, well, I mean, I think that's part of it too. You know, I think Gruden's got job security. He runs the roost over there. It's not Reggie McKenzie, the GM. It's not the owner, Mark Davis. I mean, John Gruden's decisions go. 10 years, $100 million. I mean, I think Gruden thinks he knows he can do whatever he wants, and he's going to be here for 10 years or the majority of that, and so he's going to build it the way he wants to. I wouldn't have traded Khalil Mack either, but I get, like, not one to pay top dollar for a guy on offense and a guy on defense too.
So the Raiders, like most teams, they tweeted out. I mean, they were really trying to hide it. They didn't even want to put that they traded Khalil Mack. So their tweet, when they officially announced it, you guys know what teams do. We have acquired first-round selections in the 2019 and 2020 NFL draft via a trade from Chicago. So they didn't put that we traded Khalil Mack for these draft picks. We have acquired first-round selections in the 2019 and 2020 NFL draft via a trade with Chicago. But, oh, I did some digging, and I looked at some of the mentions. Spec, hit the music. This move makes me sick. It makes me think Gruden is sabotaging the team for whatever happened in the past. Because nothing makes sense with this move other than that. This is the worst move ever.
You ain't lying.
Who was that from, C-Dot?
That is from BNO203CT.
Is that a bot or not?
I don't know. His name
got
is
a lot
Mac
of letters.
Albino.
Okay, got
so
it.
I don't know if that's a real person or not. That was a real opinion, though. Worst move ever.
This is from Albi DiPaoli, at Albi DP. 48 years I've stayed loyal, but I'm done. Gruden will bail in a couple of years and leave the organization in shambles. I'll be rooting for the Rams next Monday. Albi DiPaoli, at Albi DP.
I do feel really good about the Rams -4 for next Monday night, if you are curious on my picks. From Ivan Berrigan, Berrigan 11. Wow, great job on picks. Maybe you'll get lucky and draft a once-in-a-generational all-pro defender. Oh, wait, you already had one. That's from Berrigan 11. What's, like, really lost in all of this with the Khalil Mack stuff, because it's so big? The Raiders traded a third-round pick for someone who's never going to play on their team in Martavius Bryant, and they spent a resource on A.J. McCarron. I mean, the Raiders just had a just did a bang-up job this week in Oakland. Congratulations to everything you did. I told you guys for a month. I told you guys that the Raiders were dripping in 4-12.
Yeah.
They were cloaked in 5-11.
What are they cloaked in now? Like 2-14?
Nah, still 4-12.
Okay.
I mean, this just feels like a sixth overall pick year for the Oakland Raiders, you know?
This is from LJ, at LJ0023. Worst headline ever. It should read, quote, "Beloved Raider fans, we regret to inform you that Gruden traded Mack for a couple of first rounders," end quote. I hope Gruden had to tweet this crap. From LJ, at LJ0023. I don't think Gruden's tweeting.
No, I don't think that Gruden is tweeting at all. Last one here is from at Stealth Sooner.
Oh, wow.
I've been a fan for about 30 years. I've only been disappointed in the organization two times. It's actually a really good ratio. The day Jamarcus Russell was drafted and today. Both horrible decisions. You never want to put something in the Jamarcus Russell category. You know, like that's kind of
that's a bad category.
That's kind of like one of those things. Like, yeah. If you put me in the same category as Lynn Elliott and Scott Pioli, we got to throw hands. We got to fight.
Yeah,
like those are just two names you don't want to be lumped in with.
Yeah.
You don't want your decisions as an organization to be lumped in with Jamarcus Russell.
That
was not a good decision.
No, it's not. It's not. Raider fans not having this, are they?
I would be very upset as well if you traded our best player.
What did Brett Veach say over the weekend? Something, I'm going to paraphrase it, but he told
Matt Nagy.
told Matt Nagy, the Bears, you got better and so did we.
Yeah, I mean, every team in the division got better because the Oakland Raiders' incompetence. On the text line, Patriots, Panthers, Packers, Falcons, they aren't out here paying defensive players $100 million. Well, the Patriots are a very unique example. The Panthers haven't won a Super Bowl. Falcons certainly could have used a $100 million defensive player when they were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl. And the Packers haven't won a Super Bowl since 2010.
Yeah.
Maybe they should.
Well,
that's what I would do.
And what did I say last week, C-Dot? The Packers are the most underachieving franchise in the last quarter century. They've had 26 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Maybe they could use some defense.
This is just the thing that maybe this is like a very simplistic way of looking at it. How can you do great things without great players? Khalil Mack is a great player. You want to accomplish great things.
Yeah.
How can you do it? Like, that's my stance with Marcus Peters. How are you trying to do great things losing great players? Unless you're planning on replacing them with other great players. Now, let's see. If Armani Watts goes on to be a great player, if they get the second-round pick last year and he goes on to be a great player, then all right. But how are you doing great things like going to AFC Championship games, NFC Championship games, and going to the Super Bowl without great players?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Khalil Mack one of the guys that you do everything in your power to try to acquire, and then you build around that player on your offense or defense because you feel like you have one elite player? Like, look at the Chiefs right now. Who's the great player they have on defense? You would think it's Eric Berry.
Or Justin Houston. Yeah.
If those guys are healthy, you feel like you really, really have a chance.
Yeah.
Like, you really have a chance. People on the text line to bring up the Texans. They have J.J. Watt. What has it done for him? Man, he's been injured. That's just the nature of paying
and they've
NFL
had crummy
players.
Quarterback play, though, too. I mean, they've had crummy quarterback play in Houston. And even when it started to get good, Deshaun Watson got hurt last year. I mean, that's part of it, too. Who was the guy? It was Brian Hoyer in the faux playoff game, Speck?
Not even faux playoff game. The game that never occurred.
Oh, my bad.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.